pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. Our guest today is the inspirational Deepa Naik, known popularly as Coach Deepa, a passionate runner, athlete, and also an evolving coach who has coached many athletes over the years. Running is now a deep-rooted passion and an inevitable part of her life. An IT professional, this part-time coach took to fitness in the last 10 years, though she never was a sportsperson till her engineering days. Over the last 4 years, Coach Deepa has won over 20 big races across India, from the categories of 10 kilometers to 42.2 kilometers. She has achieved this with a 10-hour job and being a mother of a dog and a cat. She credits her extremely supportive husband for her ability to find herself. Her story of grit and determination is proof of how to take charge and live your dreams. With her heart beating for animals, her future plans amazed me. Listen in as she shares the secret of how to lead a fulfilling life and the merit of three things that help you achieve that: discipline, consistency, and choices. Hi Deepa, such a pleasure meeting you after hearing about you. And welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty. I'm extremely curious to know what little Deepa was like to the fit Deepa Naik that we see today. Can you take us on your journey?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much, Rashmi ma'am, for inviting me to this podcast and allowing me to share my journey with you. So I'm really excited to be here. So little Deepa... I mean, I was totally opposite. Okay, whatever you see me right now, I was not exactly like this in my childhood. So in my childhood, I was like really, really shy person. So when I was in fifth standard, I mean, I come from a very small village. It's called Bilgi. I was in a government school and everything. Till then it was fine, but then I moved to my relative's place to go to a bigger school. I wanted to, I thought, okay, a bigger school in a town, maybe a good opportunity and all those things. So I moved there, but the environment was totally different for me. That thing completely changed. I became very shy. I became very quiet. I was not able to talk to people. Anybody comes to my home, I used to like just go sit inside home, like sit inside a room. I didn't want to talk to anyone. So I was that kind of a person. And also from childhood, I was like very chubby. So I don't know, it could be genetic or anything. So I was really, really chubby. And because of that reason, even I couldn't go into sports as well. So every time I go out in the field, okay, in the PT period, I'd say, okay, just I want to play this, take me into this game. The Coco game. So it used to be part of our PT activity. So whenever I used to go to the Coco game, so I was always sent out because I was not that agile, fast. So I was always sent out of the team. So it was kind of, bringing me down that, okay, I'm not that good at sport. I'm okay. Study wise, it was okay for me. I mean, not really bad, but then, you know, not only like bookish stuff, just studying, mugging things. So that kind of a life I had. And there were a few things. I mean, whenever I think of my childhood, it's kind of a painful thing. I really do not want to go back to my childhood. Like everybody wants to, you know, live their childhood again. But I kind of had so much of experience that I really never want to go back to that phase again. That's the reason my entire attitude changed. So after that, I moved to a hostel. So I wanted to get tough. I just wanted to get really, really tough. So I learned many things. You know, I started talking to people. And when I chose my engineering college, I purposely chose Bangalore so that it can, you know, the city like Bangalore can teach people anything, right? So yeah. I purposely chose Bangalore so that, you know, I get a lot of opportunities here. So that really, I mean, completely changed my life in a better way. Yeah, so that's how, you know, my childhood journey was.
I love the journey because you started with first building yourself, then came to the physical aspect of who you are. So this journey that you're talking about, from the shy girl who did not want to talk to people to the girl who took the decision to come to Bangalore to study because you wanted to learn from life and face life and become more confident. Was it a decision which was very conscious that you took so that you have seen somebody and wanted to be like them? Or what prompted you and told you that if you move to a city like Bangalore, you will definitely become confident? Wouldn't that have put you further into a shell?
So I was like, I have not seen anybody or I have not considered anyone as my, you know, life idol or anything. It's just that when I came, like I had to come to Bangalore to choose the college. So when I came here for the first time and I saw the life here, so that's when like just prompted me that, okay, I was getting colleges in different places also, but then in Bangalore, I thought, okay, this place is more open. So that can give me, you know, my family was really scared and to send me to Bangalore. Then I said, no, there are job opportunities. There are life opportunities. So that's the reason I just want to go there. Because when I came here, I saw people. I mean, I saw how, you know, everybody is independent. Okay. I had to, you know, ask some person to take me to the college counseling center, but then here there are people already, you know, students are already independent. They're going to college schools by on their own. So I thought, okay, wow, this is a nice place. I just want to, you know, explore this place. And that's the reason I took this decision to, you know, take up the college in Bangalore.
How much did you have to work on yourself to shift from that shy girl to the girl who could take those confidence steps? Because it's a difficult journey since I was there. And I know that journey to move from an introvert to a space where you need to find the way, you need to go forward. It's a very beautiful process, but there are pains also in that carving process. So what kept you driven and motivated to continue that journey to explore that confidence within you?
So first thing was, so as I said, the previous life was like very, I didn't want to go back to that shell again.
Yeah.
Like if I become or I continue to become like that, people will take advantage of me, of everything, you know, it's like, so I just didn't want to be in that stage.
Okay.
The only way out of that particular thing is, you know, being more vocal, you know, being more outgoing. So there were so many things which happened, I couldn't even share with anybody till date that what I had gone through. But okay, that's the reason I just wanted to be, you know, just outgoing and independent. Specifically, I wanted to be independent so that I'm not, you know, answerable to anyone for anything.
Oh,
So that's
wow.
the reason I chose that.
Okay, in a way, can we say that you became your best friend and your biggest critic?
Yes, definitely. So when I chose my college, my parents were not at all happy with that because, you know, sending to a big city out there. I said, I will take the education loan and I will do it on my own.
Oh, wow.
I do not seek approvals anymore because when I needed everyone the most, I did not find anyone. Now I can do things on my own.
That is bold. That is really bold. And from which part of Karnataka are you, Deepa?
I'm from Uttara Kannada district. Yeah, Singapore.
Okay. So now here is this girl who's taken confidence on herself, decided to hold the reins of her life, enter into college, taking an education loan and do engineering. So the 4 years of engineering, did that shift you a lot? Because from somebody who's quiet to become vocal is quite a journey in itself. So what all did you have to work on yourself? I'm sure there's so many times self-doubt prompted and said, no, no, don't talk, Deepa, keep quiet, don't say anything. How did you work on all those imposter syndromes that are there inside each of us?
So best thing was my friends. So I had a different set of friends. So I had a set of North Indian friends. I had set of South Indian friends. So all of them their outlook was completely different. And when I became more closer to them, so I thought, okay, oh, this is my place. And they helped me in every step. I didn't have to be like shy anymore. So they were there to understand me all the time. So friends were actually most important part of my life. So I always used to have this fight with my brother. I mean, my brother always say that, okay, you are always, you know, talking about your friends, say about your friends. I said, yeah, because they helped me a lot in everything. So even when I started college, I didn't know like which bus to take, how to take the bus pass. I didn't have money, to have lunch in a cafeteria. So my friends helped me. So that's the reason I am here. So that's why friends really matters. So with all the set of friends which I have met in my 4 years of college, and even when I started my job, so they all helped me to, you know, just come out of the shell.
And after 4 years of college, when you were job ready, job seeking, at that point, how much had Deepa shifted from the Deepa before to the Deepa who was an engineer by then?
So with that perspective, I don't know how to put these in words. Something like when I started my job, even after finishing, I'll be very upfront here. So even after finishing engineering also, it was not like I was very much technically strong or anything. But at least I was able to fit into that kind of, organization or meeting with people or sitting with set of people and then listening to them or pass my conversation. So I was at least able to do that when I entered, IT organization. So with that, I started building my rapport in the team. Then I learned. So that's when I started learning, actually what to do in the job. So that's when I started learning. So that shifted me from, a girl from a remote village to an engineer.
That's nice. So that's like a beautiful transition career-wise. And when did fitness step in? And how did fitness step in?
Yeah, as I always mentioned earlier, I was always like a chubby kid. So even in college, I was not very, very fat kind of thing. But then, yeah, I was chubby. My friends always used to make fun of me, like not in a harsh way, but then always they used to always tease me. the fats or whatever. I mean, so, but then I thought, okay, I think I have to do something about it. I started something in while I was in college, but then, you know, I didn't have much knowledge. And that was not a time when we had internet, we had laptops or smartphones where, you know, we can look at YouTube and then do something. So we didn't have all those. And I think even Facebook was also not there at that time. So I didn't know what exercises to do. I just tried something. And then at one point, I mean, I remember I was walking back from college. I thought, I think this is my body structure. I think I cannot do anything about it right now. That's okay if I'm fat. I'll remain like this. I don't think I'll be thin. So I actually thought, I exactly remember where I was thinking. I was having that thought. But then once I joined this office, there I saw many people. Okay, suddenly there is a total environment change, right? Okay, there is very easy access of internet. It's got a smartphone. So I know that, okay, there are so many things changing now. So that's when I came to know, all right, I can still work on myself. Then I started running. I mean, sorry, jogging. I would say jogging. So I started jogging. And then one of my friends said, okay, this jogging thing is getting very boring. Let's go for aerobics classes. I started enjoying aerobics. So that's when, so I had this aerobic instructor. Okay, I want to quote his name here specifically. Okay, his name is Pappu Ale. So he's Eklavya Body. So he specifically told me, I mean, initially he's like, okay, what is this aerobics you're doing? Focus, you're not focusing on the tune, steps and everything. But then he taught me a lot. He taught me everything. And then he said, Deepa, why don't you become a personal trainer? Said, that's crazy. I mean, how's that possible? He said, no, you are good at doing things. You're good at explaining things. So he said, why don't you become a personal trainer? Then he taught me, like, he gave me like 3 months, 4 months of you know, complete course where he taught me each exercises in detail. And he also gave me a couple of opportunity to take, you know, aerobic classes for the group or, you know, help somebody in personal training. So that's when I thought, okay, this is something very interesting and this is coming naturally to me. That's when I thought, okay, this is something I have to, you know, explore more about it. So he was the main, you know, person behind the coach that you see right now, because he's the first person who has identified this potential in within me and then pushed me to do this. So I would really, really, you know, I'm very thankful to him. So after that, it was more about, I mean, I got into running and there are a couple of friends who helped me getting into running. And then they told me like how the structured running is all about, how the structured group works, how the structured training works. So then I got into running. Then I never looked back. I mean, I just kept running. Even in the COVID times, whatever happened, I just kept running. So that's what, you know, totally changed my life to becoming a coach.
Are you a full-time coach or do you maintain your job as well?
Yeah, I'm not a full-time coach yet. I'm still in IT.
The IT world that you're in has a lot of people who are mentally stressed. They are overworked. So when you are somebody who's able to balance both your work and this space, which you really love, of coaching other people, in the process, have you taken up marathon running? Are you personally a marathoner? What has your journey been? Okay, you coach other people, you have your work, but in the process, what happened to Deepa? Did Deepa identify more aspects of Deepa? Did Deepa find out some more Deepas in her who wanted to come out?
Yeah. So once I started running, so definitely, yeah, in the first couple of runs, it got, you know, podiums and all. So that was kind of trigger because, you know, coming from a small town and then you are standing on the podium receiving this, you know, prize money and all those goodies, etc. It is really overwhelming for us, you know. Then I thought, okay, this is something nice. It's giving me some recognition. Then people started identifying, okay, who is Deepa Nayak? Then I started running more, started putting more effort into it. So that's when I got a whole bunch of, you know, I would say them that is a running family, not a running group. That's kind of a family for me. So they have encouraged me a lot. So I am a marathoner. So that's when I started coaching about running also. Because whatever that we have gone through, that we can, you know, help people or teach people, right? Mm. So I know that whatever the marathon journey I have gone through, so and along with some certifications and knowledge gaining, so and that's what I'm. I would love to teach to other people. I would like to share my knowledge with other people. So that's why I started as a, you know, running and strength coach. So I wanted to become, you know, a certified trainer. So I did my ACE certification, ACE personal training certification also during COVID, so that I become a personal trainer. So I started taking one-on-one sessions. I started taking group sessions and also training myself for the marathon goals that I have. So I have a very ambitious goal, I would say. I mean, it's not just about finishing marathon. I keep, you know, pushing myself to the edge that, okay, I have to achieve this. I have to achieve this. Okay, after that, okay, I have to move further. So I keep an ambitious goal for myself as well. I train for that. And also I want to coach people to achieving their goal. And along with that, IT definitely is still going on. You know, that's the bread and butter.
It is definitely bread and butter. So what is Deepa's typical day like, Deepa? Because if you're a marathoner, it's all consistency, right? Everything that you're doing is consistency, discipline, and just working at it. So what is Deepa's typical day like, rain or shine?
Yeah, so I wake up very early in the morning. That's when, like, my day starts very early, like 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the morning, because first I have to get my training.
Yes.
So I do my runs or strength training or whatever that is planned for the day. I do not want to miss any days of training. So even if something happens, something comes up or some other, you know, appointment or something is there, I still make sure that, okay, that day's training is done. Because I know that if I have set a goal, okay, if there is a 16 weeks training, if there is an 18 weeks training, I know each day, how important that each day is. Because when I set the plan for, you know, my clients, I know how hard they have to work each day. So after my training, so there'll be a few days I have sessions, group sessions. So I finish my group sessions and then I start with, you know, my some of the household work. So I have to take my pet out for walk. So I have to feed them. So all these things will happen. And then I'll start with my office work. So, but then I have a couple of personal training clients. So for whom I take the trainings in between the day, like either it could be in the evening or it could be in the late evenings. So some days I'll be like in a meeting. And as soon as the meeting is done, I quickly switch to the trainer mode and then immediately start taking class. And I know that, okay, after that training, after the class is done, I have another meeting. And then again, switch back to, you know, IT mode and then start with the, you know, regular day job. So after all these things are done, I mean, it's really exhausting. I definitely want to tell you that it's really exhausting, you know, switching these mindset here, there. You know, having too many things to do in a day, it gets exhausting. So I try to sleep early.
Early as in how you get up at 4. So what time do you go to bed?
So usually I try to sleep at 10 o'clock. Yeah, I mean, for me right now, the early definition is 10 o'clock, which I would definitely want to shift to 9 o'clock. But, you know, there are too many things to do in my
plate. Too little time for you.
Yeah, plate is overflowing from everywhere. So that's the reason that I try to rest well, you know, at least 10 to 4, 6 hours. Is
okay, here is a woman-to-woman question, okay? We women are very guilty of wanting to do everything perfectly. So a lot of times we waste time in the pursuit of perfection and therefore don't attain what we set out to. You start your day at 4 in the morning and you just now said your plate is overflowing. So how do you make sure that you get the best of what is served for you for the day on your plate? How do you prioritize what goes where? How are you going to, because obviously your strength training, your health, and your training is priority. How do you manage the rest of the day?
Yeah, so first thing is I make sure that, okay, my training is done to the plan properly. Okay, and then I plan, okay, so these are the sessions I have, okay, at this time. And then this is the class that I have to take. So I mentally make up my mind that, okay, so this client is at this stage right now. Okay, this is what has been done in the last class. So I just mentally prepare what needs to be done, because just after the meeting, I cannot sit and think, okay, what needs to be done right now. So I just make a mental note that, okay, so this is what has to be done. And then, okay, just I'm not a person who sit and write the to-do list. Okay. It's actually a good habit to do that, but then I'm still not that person. But I make a mental note, okay, in my office, what all work I have, okay, what all work I can actually do. So I start, you know, making that list and then start working on those things. Some days it finishes, some days it doesn't, which is, you know, part and parcel. And then at household, I mean, I, as you said, you know, we want to keep things in a specific place. We want to keep doing that. So I feel that some days I really put so much of energy in organizing things that, you know, I'm physically, mentally exhausted in that. But, you know, that's what we women are. You know, we want that perfection, so we cannot help it. So we want to clean utensils after dinner. Yeah, we want to. We have to do that. We cannot help.
And here, one more element that you just spoke about, mentally exhausted, you said. So mental health became a topic of drawing room conversation, dinner table conversation, open conversation. Till the pandemic, it was in hushed tones. Post-pandemic and during the pandemic, mental health suddenly became a topic of concern and everyone spoke about it and it was openly spoken about. Now, as somebody who is in the space of physical fitness and training, mental fitness and training is also very important. First, how do you handle yours, Deepa? With an overfilled plate, I'm sure there are days when you feel drained. How do you push yourself, up yourself? And how do you help your clients? I'm sure when you have clients and coaches, they share their personal stories also with you. Yeah. So how do you help them pump up their energy and their ability to look at life?
See, what I would suggest is, you know, we need to have a set of positive people around us always. You know, it could be a family, it could be a set of friends. So we need to always have those positive people around us. In a home, we can open up and then talk to. So when we are really stressed out, it could be a small thing that we are stressed out about, but then at least if we are able to share that at the end of the day, it just relaxes our mind instead of, you know, having that pile of stress and then exploding one day suddenly. So for me, what I do is, I mean, my husband is really loving. So I'm stressed by end of day. I just tell him everything. Okay, this is what happened, how can I manage this? So he helps me in a lot of that aspect. And also I talk to my friends, and especially I talk to Shreyas about so many things, that how can we manage stuff to do better. And also I'm very glad that I'm in this company called Akamai. So where there is not too much of work pressure. Even they feel that, okay, there's so much of work pressure on some person, they give the time off. And then, yeah, they also, even if they sense that there is a pressure, so they take that, okay, you ease that work, okay, and then you focus on one thing. So they, my managers really helped me a lot in, you know, segregating those. So that's how I'm able to manage all these things. So coming to my clients, even they have a lot of stress. Okay, I don't know what job they are doing. Okay, what is going on in their job? So what I know is, okay, what's their goal, how they're working out and all those things. But, you know, in some workouts, I can definitely see, okay, they have come for running, but then they're slightly off. Okay, then we have to ask them. There are certain people who don't tell directly. We have to ask them, is everything okay? Okay, well, how is it going in your office? How's it going in your family? Okay, and then they start sharing. So this empathy is very much important. Okay, I have got it from some people, right? It's not like, so I have got help from my husband. I have got help from my friends. I have got help from my coach. So I've got help from my managers. So I think we really need to share that with others, you know, being one of them, you know, being their coach, being their friends. We need to ask them if we feel certain things are off, try to help them, you know, ask them, do you need help? Okay, they might not be able to share everything, but at least they might be, you know, if even if they share a small workload, okay, or if they share some stress, a small stress out of their head. So at least that can help them, you know, relieve that stress. So we should be really empathetic about people all the time.
That's very true, you know, and one of the leadership styles that evolved, especially during the pandemic, was compassionate leadership, where compassion, which is empathy plus action, came into force, and everyone understood moving empathy to the next level of action as well. And in that process, self-compassion became a topic that people started speaking about. Okay, self-love, self-compassion. Yeah. So what does Deepa tell herself when Deepa is down?
Okay.
Or does Deepa never have her downs? Is Deepa always smiling?
I do have a lot of them. It's not like I don't have a down or anything. I do get such phases. But at the end, so I have to organize my thoughts a little bit.
Yeah.
Then see the ultimate goal. So,
okay.
So this is what I have to do. And then what can I focus on? Okay. And what can I focus on immediately? Okay. Okay. There is something goal. That one goal, there's at the end of the year. Okay. So I'm working towards this. This is my plan. Okay. But then what can I do immediately for it today? Okay. Some, okay. Because of some reason, maybe I couldn't, you know, do some session. All right. But how can I, you know, help myself, you know, coming out of that guilt? Okay. I cannot sit in guilt all day thinking that, okay, I have missed something. All right. And ruin my next day. So what can I immediately do? Okay. Do some 5 minutes. 10 minutes workout, 20 minutes workout, you do that, all right? So I start, you know, motivating myself with those thoughts. And not just that, you know, I want to be a person who is, I want to convey things really, you know, calmly, but then sometimes I get really irritated and start shouting. Okay, that happens with me. So I see that, okay, I take inspiration from my husband, like how calm he is while he's talking. He first thinks and then talks. He does not yell at people like I do. So sometimes I really get those thoughts. And then, okay, I have to calm down myself. So I start from calming down myself. Okay. And then if I've already done certain actions, then apologize. Okay, and then think, okay, next time what can I do better? You know, first, you know, just think and then talk. So those things I talk myself into. So that's how this process, that process is still going on. I'm still a long way to go. I think that's lifelong learning.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. There's never a moment when you completely can arrest those moments.
And we cannot ace everything.
No, definitely no. And Deepa, a question here. Can anybody get into running at any point in their life? Like suppose you've never run at all in your life and at 50, 52, 55, can you just take up running? Because you said you started jogging, then went into aerobics and you went into running, which happened. So can anybody just decide one day and get up and say, okay, from tomorrow onwards, let me get into running and will it help?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I would say anybody can get into running, any age. Okay, it does not matter what age, what are their fitness levels are. You do not have to be athletic from childhood or anything. You can take up running anytime. Okay, because you don't see an elite, okay, running. Okay, I want to run and I want to run like that person. And today I want to run like that. Okay, so there is a process. Okay, it can take a long time for some people. It can take a very short time for some people. Okay, depending on depending on their body, depending on their routine and everything. So it can take time, but then you can definitely achieve that. So how does the running begin? Running begins from walking. Okay, so start walks. Anybody can start walking. I mean, human beings, the body is made to walk. The body is made to run. Right. So our ancestors, so they ran for everything. They ran for hunting and everything. So bodies are made to run, made to walk. So start walking. Okay. Start slowly at jogging, walk, jog, and then slowly run. And then that transforms into, running. And that can be done at any age. And I would personally believe that, so once you start running, you actually, your bones will become healthy. Okay, your cardiovascular systems becomes healthy. Overall, your mood and the thought process, everything becomes healthy. It can be at any age. So there are many notions that your knees are getting weak, you're getting old, your knees will become weak if you run. I don't think that's the case. But if we follow certain plan and certain process, then these things are possible. Okay. But if you like suddenly get out and then say that, okay, I want to do a 21 kilometer run tomorrow, that is not going to be, that's when people get injured. So if you follow the process completely, then I think anybody can run. Anybody.
Okay. Okay. And around you, since you have met so many people, are there any interesting stories of people who have fought their own fears and come forward and are doing well for themselves amongst your clients who came to you completely unsure of themselves but have gone on to do well with the way they're running, the way their health and fitness has shown up? Any stories like that which inspire you to get up every morning?
I'd love to share the story of my client. I take a lot of inspiration from her as well. She's 53 year old now. So she started with me like 2 years back during COVID times. So, and she had three different kind of injuries on the same knee. She's very enthusiastic. She wants to, she wanted to go for hiking. She wanted to run. She wants to do all kind of things, but then there is injury which is stopping her. So I said, okay, so we will start with the one-on-one training. So I started with, the strength training for her. So initially, she was very skeptical that, okay, I cannot do squats because my knee hurts, or I'm very scared that, okay, that injury might become worse now. She said, while climbing stairs, I get pain. What to do? I want to do hiking, but I'm not able to climb stairs as well. So all these kinds of fear she had. I said, don't be scared. Just take out that fear, and then you just start doing these movements. So we started with the strength training, and then she also started running. She did a 10K last year. In 2021 Jan, she did a 10K. And then after that, she had to take a short break for some personal reasons and all. And then she started again strength training. And you won't believe, 2 months back, she went for a trekking. And she was the oldest in the batch. And like a rock star, she hiked and came down. And immediately, she now signed up for EBC in October. So, yeah, now she is able to do everything. She says, I'm able to climb stairs without any pain. I'm able to walk without any pain. She's absolutely confident about her body right now.
If you have to give a reco for anyone who wants to reduce but doesn't have a sense of discipline, how do they start? What is the baby steps they have to get into first?
Okay, first, you have to make a routine for yourself. You know, so if you have a goal, something, okay, if you have a goal of losing weight, okay, if you have a goal of, running your best time in 10K or marathon, you want to achieve something, okay, if you have to write it down or you have to, set a reminder of that so that it keeps reminding you, okay? And then you have to design your schedule in such a way that so your goal is the center point. Okay, it should not be somewhere else in some corner because it's easily, you'll easily get slipped if it's somewhere in the corner. So let's say your weight loss is your goal. Okay, then how you have to design your schedule in such a way that, okay, you have your morning workout and your meal time and your what you're going to eat, what time you're going to sleep, what time you're going to wake up. So everything has to be focused around that particular goal. All right. You cannot say that I want to lose weight, but I'm partying till 12 o'clock in the night. So that does not help. Right. So everything has to be centered around that. So that's how, that's how they can start. That's how they can stick to the plan. So and achieve their goal.
Okay. Okay. So start small and then keep yourself consistent. Yeah. So Deepa, with this amazing life that you've had so far, what are your future plans now?
So as you've seen me into IT, into running, coaching and everything, but what I visualize myself in future is totally different. It might amaze you. So what I have learned in many years is, doing something for the animals or doing something for, strays. And so I have... two rescued pets with me, and I want to do whenever I see a lot of strays suffering outside, I feel really, really bad. I try to do as much as I can, but it's really hard to do everything for everyone, right, with this limited budget or limited time that you have. But I want to help them a lot. I mean, I really, whenever I see a puppy on the road, I feel like getting them home. But, you cannot bring all the puppies to your place, right? Yeah. So I really feel bad for that. So I in future, I definitely want to do something which would be beneficial, which would be helpful for these trees. So, and I want everyone to take this message that, okay, please help trees. Please feed strays. Even if you cannot feed them, please do not hurt them.
Yeah, so beautiful. And that's so true. They are so unconditional in their love. You feed them once and then they love you for life. That's a very beautiful message, Deepa. Thank you. The pandemic was something that hit all of us unawares and everyone went into a pause mode. There were a lot of reflections for each one on how life was. The Great Resignation is one result of the pandemic where people suddenly realized work-life balance was important. What did it do to you? What were some of the reflections for you looking back on what the pandemic taught you?
So first thing is, importance of life. Seeing so many people suddenly losing their life and then people fighting for getting oxygen. I know a lot of friends have struggled, my relatives have struggled, they've gone through that. So it actually teaches you the importance of life. If we are not doing anything about this life, okay, then you might not get it back. Okay, you might not get this time back. So something, whatever you're passionate about, okay, you have to achieve that. Okay, because it can be very short. Life can be very short. Okay, so just make the most of it. So that's what it has taught me. In pandemic, that's why, see, for me, running is something very special. So as I told you, it gave me an identity. You know, people know me as Deepa Nayak right now. Whenever I go for a running event, people come, they identify me, they talk to me. So that gave me an identity. So that's the reason I didn't want to lose this running during pandemic, you know, just sitting, okay, there is an excuse now to not to run. So I wanted to continue. So I kept running, and seeing me, few more people joined. We also want to continue. So I wanted to, continue that journey throughout pandemic. So this actually taught me the value of life, and take every day, do not take every day as granted. With family and friends going through that phase, it's really, painful.
Very true. And as we move towards the end of the conversation, three life lessons, Deepa, that you'd like to leave us with.
One is being compassionate towards everyone. Being passionate. Compassionate is different. Passionate is different. Because whenever we are passionate, that's what drives you towards something, right? And third thing I would say is consistency. Okay. So anything that we like, okay, maybe in any field, we have to be consistent of it. So that's what I do.
For anybody who's still thinking twice about getting up and running tomorrow, what is it that you'd like to definitely tell them, especially women who give themselves least priority? Is there one message you'd like to give the women out there very strongly?
So you have to take care of your body. Okay, there's no one else coming there. Okay, so when you fall sick, you have to lift your body up. Okay, you have to take care of your body. You have to take care of your mental health. Because as a woman, I mean, we have a lot of roles and responsibilities in our life, in our daily life, in home and office. So many roles and responsibilities are there. So first thing is prioritize yourself. Prioritize your body. Prioritize your health first. So once you're done with that, okay, then you can look at your husband, look at your family, look at your household work, look at your office work. If your health is not good, I'm telling you, nobody else coming for you. Okay, so you have to take care of yourself. So get up and run.
Deepa Nayak, such a pleasure having you on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. The conversation has been as beautiful as your run. And I'm sure as a coach, you must be an amazing person to work with. Thank you so very much for telling us what it is to be disciplined, take the reins of your life in your hands, and choose how you want to lead your life. Stay blessed, continue to inspire, and thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you so much, Rashmi ma'am, for having me here. I mean, I could actually open up a lot with you. I did not even think of, saying all those, but then, just came out. Thank you so much for having me.
All the very best, Deepa.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, ma'am.
With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.